I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. What happens in Faith School? It's the place where my spirit gets fed. My faith grows stronger, and I'm learning how to be an overcomer, to be what God made me to be, called me to be, predestined me to be. Everybody said out loud, I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
I am
an overcomer.
More than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
Through him that loved me.
Greater is he
who lives in me
than he that's in the world.
Hallelujah. These are wonderful, wonderful, unchanging, eternal truths. All kind of things are changing all the time. Fashions, people that are in, people that are out, who's in charge, who's not, what comes, what goes. But the Lord said, even when heaven and earth pass away, his word never changes. And we're upheld by the words of his power. So let's ask for the specific word that we need today. Lord, all of us, everybody in the classroom, everybody watching, everywhere else, we agree together as touching this and asking you for anointing, utterance, ears to hear, answers and direction. Open our eyes, Lord, and let us see you, not what people say about you, but who you really are, what you really are, that we may know you for ourselves. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying on our series we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're beginning giving reason after reason why, from the Scriptures, why we are sure, why we know it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision all the time. How do you know it? Well, one reason we've looked at, the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 23 and verse 1, we looked at this, we talked about it, we studied it. That whole psalm deals with the Lord being your provider and protector. And he talked about his goodness. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now that word want, same word, other places in the same King James Bible, it's translated lack. I shall not want, I shall not lack. And then he describes the green pastures, the still waters, the table prepared before me in the presence of my enemies, and sums it up by saying, goodness. Oh, somebody say goodness.
Goodness.
Goodness and mercy will be with me and accompany me all the days of my life. Does that sound like doing without?
No.
Does that sound like running out?
No.
Coming short?
No.
No, that would indicate a bad shepherd that didn't get you to the right pasture, that forgot about you, didn't feed you. No, he's not a bad shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's the best shepherd. And then we went on to reason number two, and that is that God is good. We're sure, absolutely convinced, that it's always God's will for us to always have abundant provision, every one of us, because lack is bad. And bad doesn't come from God. So if it's bad, it couldn't be his will. It couldn't please him. We looked up the words lack and gave you some definitions of those. And the word means to come short or to be behind, to be deficient. When is being deficient ever good? When is being behind where you should be ever good? When is lack ever good? Why do we need to talk about this? And why do we need to camp on it for a while? Because Christians everywhere, much less unbelievers, are really confused about this. Because you got people preaching from pulpits that, you know, you being born into abject poverty was God's choice for you. And you not having enough and eking and scraping by, we don't know why God chose for you to have that kind of life, while some people have millions and billions and live in luxury. We don't know why God foreordained for these people to be so poor and these people to be so rich. But it's just one of those great mysteries. We just have to leave it with God. That's not the Bible. I said, that's not the Bible. No. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but it won't make it true. Millions of people believing something doesn't make it true. Millions of people not believing something doesn't make it false. Just makes them ignorant of the word. No, friend, do yourself a great favor. Look in the book. Find out what it says about these things, and then regardless of what you've heard all your life or what you grew up believing or what traditions are so strong and so many, believe the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Including free from lack. I know my wife Phyllis and myself, we've been in the ministry now over 40 years. And when we first started out, we were in lack. I mean, we had to borrow $3,000 from the bank for our first home, a used, worn out mobile home. And we didn't have money to get that. We had to borrow from the bank to get that. But most of the people around us where we grew up, they were in the same boat. And so you didn't really realize it and didn't think much about it. But we begin to hear some great truths preached that lack was a curse and that we'd been redeemed from the curse and that the Lord actually wanted us to have something. We'd never heard that before. We just assumed that living like we had lived was somehow God's plan and God's will because it's all His plan, right? Wrong? No. And when it began to dawn on our spirit and our mind began to be renewed that God's a good God. He's a Father. And He's the richest Father who's ever been.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, if your father is a multi-trillionaire, why should you starve? Y'all going to help me with this or not? I said, if your father is the richest being in the universe, why can't I pay my bills? Right? Why? Does it please Him somehow?
No.
Does God look down on this earth and see struggling human beings and that entertains Him?
No.
He gets some kind of pleasure out of seeing people starve to death?
No.
People that struggle and hurt? And there's all kind of pressures that come with not having enough. A lot of relationships don't survive because of those pressures and those pressures, all kind of things, pressures on the job, pressures in the community, pressures in churches. You see, people in church, ministers and pastors putting pressure on people or the church is going to go under and them pushing back and all this kind of thing. It is so wonderful when you find out who your source really is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you quit putting pressure on any people, including yourself, and you begin to believe God can and God will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Take care of me abundantly. And our life, when Phyllis and I begin to believe that, our lives totally changed. And from that point to now, we have just come up, 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 up. And, you know, even after this life, it doesn't stop. Right? We're going to continue. Woo! To go up with the God who never runs out. Never runs out. I mean, this universe that He made, We hadn't got a telescope that can see far enough to the end of it. We have no idea how far this goes. I heard a while back they'd just come out with a new telescope. And they pointed it to an area of space that they considered to be pretty much empty. Couldn't see much out there. But with the new telescope, there's stars and planets everywhere. It just goes on and on and on. Well, the one who made all that is your papa. I said, he's your daddy. He's your father. Why do I have to live broke with a father like that? I don't. I said, I don't. He is well able. Oh, somebody say well able. Well, God is well able. And my good shepherd is well able to take care of me. And he does. Now, what we have said, we want to keep reiterating it, is that lack is bad and that abundance is good. In the book of Psalms, I'm going to read some of these because he keeps talking about good and goodness. In our last class, yesterday's class, we talked about Moses asking to see the glory of God. And he said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'll show you my goodness. Why? Because when you're seeing how good he is, you are seeing his glory. That is what makes him so glorious, is how good he is. And the things that he has made that are so amazing and so spectacular, they're also good. Light is good.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every good thing, every good gift has come out of him. Listen to these things about the goodness of God as it relates to us. In Psalm 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Now notice this, not just when you get to heaven, but see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Did you know there's a lot of believers? They're not really expecting any goodness much till they get to heaven. Every day they get up, they've got all kind of bad things, but they're not sure what's God's will and what's not. And so they hope it don't get worse, but they can't be sure because it getting worse could be God's mysterious will and plan, and we just don't know. But they're convinced that past this life is goodness. But no, he's talking about goodness here and now in the land of the living. But he said, I had to believe it. Right?
Yes.
I'd have fainted. I'd have gotten weak and given up and quit if I hadn't believed God. If I hadn't believed he was a good God. If I haven't believed that his will and plan for me is goodness, but because I didn't give up and faint and quit, because I believed, I did see it. And I saw it before I got to heaven. I saw it now here in the land of the living. What did you see? I saw the goodness of God. What else did that do? That glorified God because his goodness is his glory. Over in the 31st Psalm, Psalm 31:19, it says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you. The word fear has to do with, includes reverence and respect and honor, which you have wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men. God has stockpiled, reserved huge warehouses full of what? Goodness. For who? Is everybody going to experience? No, he's very specific about who's this for. This is for those that fear and reverence him. And it's going to be worked for them that trust him. Does everybody respect him? No. There are millions that say he don't even exist. Does everybody trust him and follow him? No. So they won't experience the goodness. And they can believe a lie that God doesn't exist. Or if he does, he wanted something bad for them. But it wasn't true. If they'd have believed him and followed him, they could have experienced goodness here and now in the land of the living. How great is your goodness that you've laid up for them that fear you? Over in Psalm 107:9, it says, he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with what?
Goodness.
Goodness. Verse 15, and this says it multiple times in this psalm, oh, that men would praise the Lord for what? For what? His goodness and for his wonderful works in the children of men. Can you look at lack and starving and call it wonderful?
No.
Would you look at lack and deficiency and penury and you know, being in abject poverty and say, it's good? I know it don't feel like it and look like it, but it's good. You just need to accept. No, it's not good. It never was good. It never will be good. It's fine and good and right for you and I to hate lack, to hate poverty, because according to the Bible, it's evil. And you know the same word is used for disease? In fact, what is it, Psalm 41 or so? It talks about an evil disease. And Jesus talked about how that a woman had been oppressed by Satan. And Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible calls sickness and disease evil, satanic oppression, the work of the devil. And yet you got all kind of church going people saying, you know, we don't know why God put that disease on me, but it's so I could learn some things. Disease is evil. Sickness is evil. Think about this. You're God. You created Adam and Eve. You made them beautiful. You made them perfect. Some evil disease that comes along and destroys that beautiful creation and twists the human form till it barely resembles a human anymore is not an improvement on your creation.
That's right.
Huh? That ain't gonna please you. You know, that's like some vandal taking a stick and a spray can and you know, messing up a masterpiece, a work of art. That's not an improvement. That ain't going to please the artist. That ain't going to please the creator. Sickness is evil. Disease is evil. Did you know that death is not even pleasing to God? Death is not of God? Did you know that? People talk about, well, you know, God took them in death. Death was his gift to them. You got to be joking. No. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? Did God create everything? He created death. No. If there had never been any sin, there would never have been any death.
Amen.
And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us death is the last enemy that shall be put underfoot. Death is not a blessing. Death is the enemy. And yes, when people die, God's people, he received them. See, that's a different word from taking them. We need to use Bible words. When they came to him, some people leave early. They leave earlier than they should. They should have lived longer. But if they love God and they believe him, he received them. I said he received them. But to say he took them, And to say he took them with car wrecks and tornadoes and tsunamis, No, that's not right. And death is not a blessing. Death is an enemy. We're told we can rejoice even at a graveside. Did you hear the language that said, oh grave, you know, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? Where's your bite? What are you saying? He has triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. And soon and very soon the trumpet's going to sound and this believer's coming up out of here. Hallelujah. And soon and very soon, there'll be new heavens, new earth, no more curse. What does that mean? No more death. No more dying. The flowers won't die. The grass won't die. Nothing will die. Won't that be a wonderful place? Why? Because it's good. That's good. All this other stuff is not what God created. It is the results of the judgment of sin and curse. The wages of sin is death. If there'd never been any sin, there'd never been any death. So to say the death is of God is to and pleases him would associate the sin somehow pleases him. That was his plan all along. Nope. It's because human beings have a free will. Tell me what God is. He's good. Tell me what his will is. Goodness. What his work is. goodness. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 31:14, he said, I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness. That's abundance. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. How many believe the word of the Lord is superior to everything, over everything? So say, are you his people?
Yes.
I want to see a show of hands. I'm looking in the camera right now. Who's his people? Where's his people at? Somebody say, I'm his people. I'm his people. What about his people? God himself said, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. See, you're not satisfied when you don't have enough to eat. You're not satisfied when your kids don't have decent clothes to wear. You're not satisfied when you can't pay your bills. You don't have a decent place to live. When you can't give any offering and you can't support the gospel and you can't help anybody else out. That's not satisfying. That's being unsatisfied. That's coming short. That's not being able to go the whole way that you know that you should go. Satisfied. Why? Because God has been so good to me. Huh? His goodness is so rich and so strong in my life that I've been able to complete everything that he told me to do. Go all the way. Everybody he told me to help, I've been able to help. Hallelujah. Abundantly, generously, everything that he's dealt with me to do to succeed in reaching. That's good. Lack is bad. Abundance is good. Huh?
Yes.
He goes on to say in Jeremiah 33, talking about blessing God's people and blessing a city and blessing a place. Listen as to what he calls a witness to him. Jeremiah 33:9. He said, it shall be to me a name of joy and a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, talking about his people, and which shall hear all the good that I will do to them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I procure to it. Whew. Do you know this is supposed to be part of our witness? This is supposed to be part of our light as to how good God is to us? Now, never a matter of boasting and never a matter of showing off and never a matter of comparing and competition. I got more than somebody else. It matters how you got what you got. If God added it to you, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And there's no sorrow. There's no negative thing attached to it. It's just all good. But when the Lord has done it, it needs to be, it's supposed to be, it's his plan for it to be enough to where other people see and go, how are you doing this? I know you don't make that much at work. How'd you get that? How does this happen? How could you do all these things? And one of the first things that ought to come out of your mouth is God is good. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he has been so good to me. He did this for us. He gave us this. He gave us favor for this. He added this to us. He enabled us to get this. Somebody say goodness.
Goodness.
Goodness. And it's supposed to happen that this continues and accrues and enlarges and one upon another builds and accumulates until other people hear it and see it. And see the goodness of God in your life, in the land of the living. Listen to what the NIV says about it. Again, this is Jeremiah 33:9. He said, then this city will bring me renown, the one of God's people. Joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear what? Hear about how broke you were? Hear about what hard times you went through? Does that glorify God?
No.
Hear about how sick and down you were and how you couldn't do anything? And that does not glorify God. Why? Because only the works of God glorify God. The works of the evil one glorify the evil one. Which is why if the enemy is able to pull off something with you, don't even advertise it. Don't even brag on what the enemy did. Overcome it. Enjoy the victory. Then tell everybody how God gave you the victory, right? And how the enemy wasn't big enough to keep you in the failure. Give God the glory, not the enemy. Evil comes from evil, and evil works glorify the evildoer. Good comes from good, and it's the good things that glorify the good God. He says, when they hear of all the good things I will do for it, and they will be in awe of what? And they'll tremble at what? At the abundant prosperity and peace. Hallelujah. King James says the goodness and prosperity that I'll provide for it. Now we're talking about some serious abundance.
Yes.
When people look at it and go, whoo. Huh? Yeah. Be in awe of the way. Whoo. Awe and tremble at what? Goodness.
Yes.
Goodness and prosperity. And abundant. Could it be true, class? Could it be true? Well, I didn't write this. You didn't write this. This is the Word of God. Somebody say, I believe it. I believe it. I believe every word of this, and it's for me. Well, our time's up again. I'm so glad you're rejoicing with me about this. Come back next time. We'll grow in it more here in Faith School. I've sure enjoyed being with you again this week. I'm stirred up about the goodness of God. I like to speak over our partners at the end of every week. We so appreciate everybody that's believing with us, praying for us, sowing into this so we can send it all over the world in multiple languages. And you need to know that it's not God's will for you to be behind on your bills or not be able to pay, even if you've made some bad choices concerning some debts. Let's ask God for forgiveness and mercy, and you can get ahead and you can pay those things off and get in better shape. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak over our partners. We ask you for mercy. Lord, help us to, even if it was some dumb things, even if it was some disobedience, we ask you for mercy, Lord, and we claim more than enough to pay off bills, catch up things, and to get ahead because we know you're a good God and this is your good will. We ask for it in Jesus' name, and we claim it coming in quickly and abundantly. Start expecting more than enough to get caught up and to get ahead, and that get ahead part is having more and more to be able to give to others and help send this gospel, this good news that they can have plenty as well all over the world. We love you. We're believing with you. We'll see you again soon for more Faith School back here soon.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.